Breadsticks, potatoes, and big gay dinners. It's the Wine Owner Up After Show. Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello. Welcome to the Wine Owner Up After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. If you haven't already, go to YouTube.com and search for AfterBuzz TV's Sci-Fi Superhero Fantasies. Those words. Channel, that's where we live, because we're sci-fi, fantasy, superheroes, demons, vampires, and werewolves. I'm Yael Tigla, I'm joined by Amber. Hello!
Hey guys, my name is Amber Plaster. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Amber Plaster, and I will respond in GIFs.
Yay!
Yeah!
Amber is in the live chat, trying to keep an eye on that, so if you are chatting live with us, welcome. She will do her best, but yes, there's only two of us, and I need someone to talk to, because otherwise it's weird. welcome to When on Earth, Season 3, Episode 8, Waiting Forever for You.
Great title.
Okay.
What? You don't like it?
I think it's okay.
I read it, and fun. I was like...
I think I've
You
had...
are just not affected by relationships. She's like, I just don't.
Can we just
brush over the whole love story? And I'm like, we can't.
I forget sometimes that emotions matter.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I'm here for you, Yael.
Thank you. I'm an emotionless, cold, stone witch.
She's not. Don't say that.
That's
not
true. Okay, let's break down this episode. What did you think of it overall? Great.
I liked it. It was definitely less lighthearted and funny than the previous episode. I really liked the previous episode a lot. So just by nature of that, it wasn't as good as the last episode, because last episode was one of my favorites. Mm. But I really liked that we found out a lot of information this episode. Charlie stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. I was really not rooting for him, and he was like kind of winning me over this episode.
Mm.
And I wasn't prepared for it.
I'm holding my thoughts. Go on.
obviously, I love an episode about Doc, so
right.
I can't complain. we got a lot of answers about Robin,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe a lot of confirmed theories from previous episodes, which is
yes.
something that you were kind enough to bring up that I didn't remember Alexis
oh,
and I
yes.
kind of predicted.
I like to give credit where credit is due. Amber and Alexis, and I believe also Carrie, had really great theories about Robin and the people that were taken by Bolshar and what that means. And I was like, wow, that's so interesting. I didn't even think of that. So you deserve the credit for that.
Thank you.
Alexis also, I think, had the ideas of the things in them and make them trees.
Yeah. We knew that it had something to do with the plants and Bolshar.
Yeah. So, yes.
Coming back around full circle.
just me, my tiny applause. I love this episode, and it's because I love information and reveals.
Okay.
So, like... regardless of anything that happened, that's where the conversation of emotions came in relationships. Is I was like, all this, we learned so much, and that's all I want to talk about. And I think every episode of a TV show should be like mystery reveals, mystery reveals.
Okay.
That explains why I watch Law and Order Special Victims Unit. That just made sense in my head.
Yale, procedurals are like an algorithm. It's like, it's literally like math.
Yep.
CSI and Law and Order are like watching math.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Guys, we just learned so much about me right now. let's jump into relationships. I want to start with Wynonna and Charlie, speaking of. Yes?
Look at that face.
Let's
jump into it.
I like your little hands thing. Those listening are missing the hands
okay.
thing.
It's fine. I'm excited. It's okay. Continue.
So we're at Purgatory's Finest Restaurant, which I appreciated. It's a diner that I think has Chinese food and Italian food.
Have you ever seen the best comedy that nobody watches called Schitt's Creek?
Of course I have.
It reminds me of the diner in that.
Oh, yeah.
So much. That's, and that is also the best place in that town to eat.
The only restaurant in that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I could think about.
Excellent point. Yeah. Schitt's Creek is great.
Tim
is in that show.
He is.
Yes.
Playing like a 20-year younger man.
Wait,
it's very
fine.
Confusing.
It looks so good.
Anyway.
So they're at the restaurant. Date night becomes steak night. Let's talk about them talking and stuff. I don't trust him. Here's what it is. We've introduced that this is this guy who, like, understands that purgatory is weird and understands that it's, you know, creatures and whatever. And I don't trust him. That's my problem, is that, yes, he seems sweet and he really stepped up. But what's his deal? He kept asking her about her and Purgatory and did not reveal anything about himself.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
I know that Charlie's not going to last.
I'm so surprised.
I also didn't think he'd last this long.
Right.
So the fact that he may become somebody that we have to send back to hell or or a supernatural creature or somebody working for Black Badge or something like that, that might be counterintuitive to what we want for Wynonna. Wynonna's going to handle it. I ain't worried about her.
Interesting.
I'm really not. So I'm just kind of like, yay. But like, I'm aware that he's asking a bunch of really odd questions and he's kind of playing dumb because at first he was like, you were just joking about, you know, or no, that was Robin. He was like, so you mean like vampires? Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, and he was ready to go. And then all of a sudden he ropes Doc in holy water. Like I guess he could have known that from Wynonna.
I think Wynonna did it and told him what to do. That's my assumption.
But I'm seeing a lot of him pretending not to really know. And then we don't really know where he comes from, which is fine because it's very Purgatory-esque to not know where a character pops up from.
But he also, like, he was said, you know, Purgatory is known for these things. So he came intentionally. And that's what's concerning. And his question to her at the date was, you know, what was it like growing up here? And I was like, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
What's your issue?
It could be that he's just trying to find out exactly how tormented she is and how much he's going to have to deal with. He's just trying to find out information about her, but not likely. I think it's more there's something else going on with him. But I think he does genuinely like her in some respect.
I would hate it if he turns out to just be another Revenant. Because, like, that feels a lot like the Rosita storyline.
I mean,
where, like, there's this person that we've started to like and join in our group and is helping out. They turn out to be a Revenant.
In a way, I wouldn't mind because it makes so much sense for there to be another Revenant lurking around. We're in Purgatory. We should see a Revenant every episode or so. Like, this is literally where they live. So to have Monsters of the Week is fun, but it would be expected to have a Revenant pop up. And this is similar to Rosita, and I kind of like that it is because then we get to see Doc struggle with what Wynonna struggled with a little bit.
Fine. I'll allow it. That was a fair argument. So at the end, he gives her this basket of breadsticks, and it says, "Don't ghost me in Ghost River. Let's get to entrees next time, Buttercup."
Okay, that was a little confident and cheesy for me.
Go on.
I didn't like it.
Which part?
I didn't like the basket of breadsticks. Oh. It just was very...
That's so interesting.
It was very not Wynonna, so I didn't like his attention to detail.
I like the basket of breadsticks. I think it could have just said, "Don't ghost me in Ghost River," period. Like, I think that is note enough.
Yeah.
I think it was too much.
Yeah, it was a little too much for me.
I mean, Doc knows. "I'm all in" is all you need.
Ugh. Listen.
That moment, it just tore me up. I felt emotions. I liked the breadsticks, but let's talk about Charlie and Doc. You mentioned the rope soaked in holy water. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very interesting point. I assumed that Wynonna set it up and just told him when he gets there to, like, close the circle. That was my assumption, but fair point that we don't know that for sure.
We don't know that, and I feel similarly to Robin how I do about Charlie, where it's like, wait, did he get lost or did he make sure they got lost? Like, when we were asking questions about him, we weren't really quite sure. I almost feel like maybe this episode, and I'm just realizing this right now, maybe this episode is making us sort of fall in love with Charlie only for the next episode for the rug to be pulled out so that we start seeing shady behavior from him. Because the last episode, we were like, we don't know about this Charlie character. We were not having it.
But
now we're kind of, or maybe you're not.
No, I feel even more. You've made me, so I definitely like the questioning at the date. Like, that's not how date works. It's, tell me about where you grew up. Oh, I grew up here. Like, it's a back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't, which is why it's concerning. But then you pointed out the holy water rope, and I was like, oh, good point. But I do enjoy when the Stone Witch comes and they deal with that. That he is.
I love that we get the Stone Witch back. She was one of my favorite characters.
I really love the way that they essentially were like, we know it's been 2 seasons. Let's remind you of everything. So he had to explain that the Stone Witch is Constance Clouty, who was the wife and is now dead, and she put him in the well, and now he was going to do the same. I loved that he had to explain it, because I was like, right, got it. Because they kept calling her Constance. They called her Clouty, and they called her the Stone Witch. I was like, I'm confused again. Wait, remind me who she is.
Yeah.
And then there's also the widows, who were also his wives. So, like, head, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and then we have flashbacks.
Right.
Too. There's a lot of exposition that was done pretty dang well in this episode. Mm-hmm. I think this episode's very rewatchable, because you're like, oh, yeah, season one. Oh, yeah, season two.
Right.
A lot in this episode.
I loved it. So I also love when we get to the well and it still smells like boba's.
I love that little aside. He was like, it still smells like boba's. And I was like, wow, okay, still.
This is the same well. We're just going to reuse
still
it.
Still hating him, don't you?
I like that.
All right.
And then she steals the car and gives him the finger. That was great.
It was pretty great. And I like that he, like, even had, like, the gentlemanly sense to be like, that's fair. I mean, I stole her pink limo.
So. Right.
I was like, yes, that was such a good episode. I remember.
So then the boys are running. And I really like this kind of man contest of, like, I can keep up, old man. I'm not dying, whatever. You know, when they're running. It's real cliche, but I thought it was cute.
It seemed...
Yeah.
I just don't, it seemed very cliche and very unrealistic to me, so I was almost taken out of it, but, like, I loved it, though.
Yeah, I get it.
I wanted it to be real.
I got it.
But men don't really fight over women like that. They're usually just like, whatever, dude, and then they just live their lives. It's not like that, like, oh, yeah, I can last longer. Ugh. And I was like, okay, that's not really, all right.
So Doc wants blood, as we know. And I like what he tells Charlie to just knock him out when he was like, I'm going to kill you or you have to knock me out. I really liked that moment because Charlie understood that if he didn't, Doc was going to drain him.
I mean, Charlie's not dumb.
And I think he's not unfamiliar to these things. Maybe he's a vampire.
I don't think he's a vampire. I think he could even be, human. But still just sent to poke around. But I think you're right in that he's not unfamiliar.
Right.
I just don't know that he's supernatural.
And then he brings Doc his blood at the end, which I thought was a smooth move. But also surprising to me that that Kate was bringing live people. Because even like other vampire shows have learned that if you want to survive and not get murdered, you steal blood or...
Yeah.
You know? From, like, blood banks.
Yeah.
It just is surprising to me that she still hunts.
Especially
in a town where there's someone who kills creatures.
I think that she's overly confident. I think that she's one of the strongest not-targeted supernatural beings around. Like, mm-hmm. No one's really out hunting her to our knowledge, so she doesn't really have a reason to be hiding or laying low. She's faster than a revenant, and she's... trying to get Doc's attention. And I think that's what it is. It's this gift of, like, remember me, honey? It's very, like, look, she's trying to, like, provide value. And he's like, you do not control me, woman. Like, he was very clear about it. And I was like, dang, okay.
Speaking of Kate, I really like that Winona goes and is like, I'm going to kill you and make him human again. Because I forgot that that's...
It's a possibility.
A part of vampire lore.
Yeah, but also if you kill that vampire, it could kill who you created as well.
Right.
She could kill Doc by killing. So, like, we don't know how this works.
Well, we do now. It doesn't.
It doesn't, but she also didn't clarify, if you kill me, Doc also dies. She did not clarify that.
Right.
So that's still on the table.
I mean, it could just kill her.
It could.
And then nothing.
And she could be lying just to save her own ass, which is highly likely. I would.
Yeah, but the fact that she didn't say it until the end tells me that it's more likely. Because if it was to save her own ass, then when Winona first brought it up, she was like, that doesn't work. You know?
But that's I also think that she wanted something different. When she first met up with Winona, she was like, here, have a drink, sit down. She wanted to talk to Winona.
Mm.
I don't know that she's ever really been threatened by Winona.
Yeah.
She's an equal match.
That's true. I do really like their dynamic.
Me too.
Because it isn't like, well, he's mine kind of behavior. It's you're screwing over my friend kind of behavior. You know what I mean? It's not like two girls fighting over a guy. It's two people fighting over their friend that they both think the other is not a good influence on.
I like that. We have Irene in the live chat said, I love Kate in this episode. At first, I thought she left because she gave up on Doc, but now I think it's actually because Bolshar knows that she's in purgatory.
Yeah, I want to know more about what her Bolshar situation is.
Yeah.
Is it because she
Six degrees of Bolshar.
Is it because she wouldn't read his cards? Is that the issue? That, like, because she didn't read the cards and then the cards got stolen and then it took this long, he couldn't do what he needed to do. And so, therefore, she's like the first families that betrayed him. She betrayed him.
I could see that. Mm. I mean, I could see her definitely being on his naughty list, as we saw in the Christmas episode. But I also think that if I had to guess, I don't think she's held there by Bolshar. I think he's got too many, I don't know, people to go after already.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, she's a little bit off everyone's radar, is my impression.
Right, but she's afraid of him knowing she's there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she wants to, like, walk up to him, but I don't know that he's hunting her or has some kind of magical control keeping her
there. I agree.
Wonder, but I don't get that vibe.
Right, I think she's afraid that he'll realize that she's there.
Yeah.
So we get this great flashback about her not wanting to read his fate. I want to talk real quick because you all love relationships and emotion and crap. When she says, I love you to Doc in the flashback, and his response is, smells like rain's coming.
First of all, as soon, literally, just like before, like it just killed me because he wasn't even looking at her.
Nope.
He wasn't even under the covers. She was under the covers. He was on top of the covers. He wasn't even looking at her. And she goes with, I love you. That's not the time to do it. How about when he has eye contact with you? This is not going to end well.
I wonder if that was the first time she said it or if that was a time she said it. And his response was, it smells like rain.
I feel like we're meant to understand this was the first time.
Maybe.
I mean, why else show it? Unless it's just a window of how their relationship
was.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I definitely thought that she had said it before, and he may have said something sweet back, but this was the time where she said it, and he was like, smells like rain's coming, and then he got up and coughed and was dying.
Also, because I don't think Doc is a sociopath or doesn't have feelings for Kate, I wonder if that scene isn't going to reveal later the reason that he didn't say I love you back or at least have a more heartfelt conversation is because he's trying to push her away because he knows he's dying.
Right. I definitely could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we then see Constance tell her that he's going to live forever, but that she'll probably never find him. And that was the decision that pushed her to become a vampire so that she could live forever and eventually find him, I guess.
Oh.
Sure. Aw.
I mean, I don't root for Kate, but that's
a romantic gesture.
Yeah, that's the romantic gesture, is I will give up my mortal life to just, like, hang around and see if maybe you'll be into me again. Dang.
Is that not what Doc is doing for Winona?
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that it's not reciprocated on Doc's end for Kate.
Yeah, well. So let's talk. Actually, before we talk about Winona and Kate, would you like to tell everyone about our amazing networks here?
Yes, I would. Great. I'll take a little break and do that right now.
Yeah, let's do that.
Our network producers, after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, have been separated on our YouTube channel. So from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans other than AfterBuzz TV. But we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels, probably this one because it's obviously the best. By subscribing to our channel, you will suggest content that's tailor-made for you and the shows that you like. And don't be worried about notifications because they're totally optional. So hit the subscribe button now and check out other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. If you do so, let us know, because I'm always in the comments. I don't know if you read the comments, but I do back to the next week and check the comments and respond to you guys. I love, especially ERPers. I love that you love your comments and I love your theories and I actually respond to them. So thank you for being the best fans around and helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody. And also, we're on iTunes. You can subscribe there as well. If you like us, you can give us 5 stars. And if you don't like us, you can give us 4 stars. I went back a few years ago and broke the other stars. So don't bother. It's 5 stars or 4 stars. And if you don't like us, you better comment. Why? What did we do wrong? Because maybe we'll fix it. Maybe. Probably.
Also.
Unless it's, yell, get a heart. What is this, the Wizard of Oz? Come on.
Listen. I really am not worried about the ERPers. It's like, this has to be the one show that I'm not worried about because it's like the nicest people on the planet.
Oh, ERPers are the best.
I didn't do this. I don't make the rules. It just is. Okay.
Yes. Let's discuss the big gay dinner.
Yay!
So Robin got bit by
That would have been a better title for this episode.
Big gay dinner?
A little bit.
Yeah, I think so. So Jeremy's super nervous, which is, I mean, not weird. I was going to say weird, but no, it's just Jeremy being Jeremy. I just feel like it wasn't a nervousness that needed to be addressed. You know what I mean? Like, hot is like...
Nicole.
Yes, Nicole Hot. Was like, you're real nervous. Yeah, that's Jeremy when he talks to boys or about boys. Have you seen him with Doc? That's just how he behaves.
Yeah, but I also felt like that realization was more of a calm down. It was more of like, you're nervous. Like, let's not freak out the only gay that we've brought here for you. Please don't ruin this. Like, that's kind of how I
That's
read that.
I'll allow it. So Robin is in the kitchen with Waverly. And we get the moment that ERPers have been waiting for since the trailer dropped, the potato lick. And as soon as I saw the scene of them in the kitchen, I went, potato lick. I got it. I know where we're going. He's licking a potato. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this for weeks.
Man, I kind of like, I was getting ready for the show and rewatching the episode and I kind of like looked over and I was kind of his expression was so strange that like I could not look away. It was probably the strangest scene I've seen on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Robin's weird.
I would say it's up there with the menstrangel as my favorite things.
Yeah.
It was a potato lick and a menstrangel.
Yeah. It's pretty great. The season just comes through with the details.
Yes. Oh, that menstrangel made me so happy. Okay. So Robin can hear what's going on. I love that everyone is like, let's help him get better. And Waverly's like, let's keep him talking. That was amazing. Waverly's behavior of he's giving us information we do not have. He clearly has a line to Bolshar. Let's not fix this until we have to.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's here and safe and no one's hurting him. So let's let him be a conduit for a message that we need to all hear.
Yeah. So he says seeds in the ground whispering. He can hear the seeds in the ground whispering to one another. Bolshar can talk to them. We also have the moment with the ring, which we then discover seems to be following Nicole.
Which I love.
I like it too, but I don't know. I have questions about this ring. So there's also the really quick little scene where Waverly thinks she's getting proposed to.
Yeah. And the fake engagement, which was great. I mean, you know, I was thrown when he was kind of like talking over her and was like, do I get to be the maid of honor or whatever? And I was like, whoa, if this was real, there would be soft music in a speech. So like I almost knew it wasn't real when it was happening, but it was cute.
It was a cute moment. I felt like Jeremy should have either not said anything or he should have been like, you know, like he wanted to interrupt to correct because he knew what. He knew that it was not a proposal. He knew that was Bolshar's ring.
Did he?
Yeah, because when he notices it in the, what was it, biscuit, he says, there's a ring in the biscuit. And then she says, I threw it away. And he said, I locked it away. And that's when Waverly comes in.
Oh.
So
that is weird.
It was very weird that he was like, oh, okay, we're doing this.
Maybe he thought suddenly she whipped out a different ring?
Maybe.
That was weird.
It was very weird.
Let's just attribute that to nerves for the big gay dinner.
Sure. So then Robin says, it'll all be over soon. We need to keep fertilizing the soil. He's close now. These are all things that we hear from Robin. And we will soon get to what all of those things mean. So Constance arrives as they're in the barn to take cards from Doc's box, which we then get the whole story about the tarot cards and what that means.
Love that.
The ring gets hot in Nicole's pocket. She throws it and Waverly puts it on. What did we think about this Waverly putting it on? She says later that she was meant to. What did you think about this ring?
I thought it was interesting that it started burning Nicole almost as if it could talk to its owner.
Which is similar to when Doc had it on his hand.
Yeah, and like there's nothing wrong with Nicole. Like she's not a vampire. She's right. not, I mean, as far as we know, could we keep one human on the show? Mm-hmm. That'd be so nice.
But she's a survivor. She's not. She's human.
Yeah. I mean, I hope. Right. There's always next season, girl. You don't know. She could be an angel, too. We don't know.
She got bit by an angel. Yeah. That's how that works, right?
Oh. Okay. Great.
That used to be a show, right? Bit by an angel?
Mm, I don't think so. The chat does seem to think that the ring is following Waverly. And I think that that is a possibility, but I also think it's very odd that she said specifically it fits.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just, like, kept hearing that, and then the scene went on. And so I think we're meant to notice that, and I have no idea as to what that means for Waverly. Does it have anything to do with Julian? Maybe Julian can wield the ring in a way that gets rid of Bolshar?
Mm.
I don't know.
Excellent questions, because I got nothing. So we find out that the bottom of the ring has Arabic. Before that, Kate says about the ring, she says, don't underestimate the power of this relic. It's older than most things on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So also brings up good questions. So now let's get to the reveal.
I've been
waiting for this moment. Okay, so the ring on Waverly's finger now has Arabic on it. First of all, earlier in the episode where Bolshar, when he brings out the stone, which on his paper had Hebrew letters, which means it was Hebrew or Aramaic. And all I could think was, if Jeremy thought that Arabic and Hebrew are very different letters and different alphabets, and I got very frustrated that he would not know the difference.
Mm.
That's really all I wanted to say about that. Okay. So turns out the ring says Garden of Paradise. And we have the cards when Wynonna realizes that there's a connection and that she might have the same future. And the cards are such. Past is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Present is the tower, which may or may not be a penis thing. And future is the lovers.
Mm-hmm.
We then find out, are reminded that Juan Carlos said that this place was sanctuary. And it seems that Bolshar is looking to bring the Garden of Eden to the Ghost River Triangle.
Yeah, I think that it's maybe the Ghost River Triangle is an area where he could bring hell to life.
Mm.
Because the lovers and the devil card are they're almost twin cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought my tarot cards with me.
yeah, you did.
I don't know if I can show you quickly enough, but if you guys look at the devil card, it actually has the lovers in it. So here's the lovers.
Oh.
And then, because I was thinking, I was like, oh, Garden of Eden, how nice. It literally just occurred to me. Oh, I put the devil back in the deck because I thought maybe it would count for Bolshar. So the lovers are actually in the devil card.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is they're chained to the devil, but they look almost exactly the same. And they're in the same position. The man is looking at the woman, and then the woman's looking up at the demon. And so I'm wondering if Bolshar's hopes and dreams aren't to just
make hell on earth.
Make hell on earth.
Instead of, oh, yeah.
By either using the portal of the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. or doing some kind of spell that's related to that. But yeah, I don't know if you guys can see on the screen here. Probably not. But I'll tweet out a picture of it for you guys to see. But they're very similar cards. And then the tower traditionally in tarot is very bad. It is probably the worst card that you could draw. It's just total destruction and chaos. it's total annihilation. So they're very, so it's really weird that the lovers got pulled. So that's why I think it can't have any good connotation. It just doubles up on that.
Interesting. I like all your tarot knowledge. So we also hear that somebody, I didn't write who wrote it, that he's not looking for the Garden of Eden. He's already found it. I want to say Robin said that. He's already found it. And then Kate left. Yes? Did Kate leave? Or did Kate just go home?
I think Kate just went home.
I'm taking it to the chat. I took it as she's gone. She's like, I'm out of here. I'm done. And I would like to know
because of Bolshar or because of the trees?
Because of Bolshar, because of Doc, because of both. After she has that chat with Wynonna on the porch, it sounded like she was leaving for God, for good. I words good today. So taking it to the chat. I want to hear your thoughts. Before we get to predictions, we also have to talk about Wynonna and Doc in the barn, where he says that he's allowed in the barn, which was interesting, and he's done hiding from her. And she says, I don't like you like this. And he says, I've become this because I'm determined to be here for you as long as you require. And we're going to do this together.
The chat seems to think that she went home.
Home.
Mm-hmm. That she needs to follow the cards right now.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
So I'm the only one who's like, she's leaving?
Yeah, I mean, we all know she's not going to last long, so.
Right.
I figure because she's there for a few episodes, she'll have like a death or an exit that will be a little bit more memorable than that.
Yeah.
But I feel like in real life, if this was real life, she would have left. That would have been the time for her to leave.
Right.
I think your instincts are correct, but I think the show is just going to give us more than that.
Okay. At the very, very end, Bolshar appears, and he blows something at them.
Yeah. Salts, maybe?
Sleeping powder?
I don't know. He's real dusty, so listen, it could be anything.
Before we get into predictions, we have a fun new segment we do.
Yeah.
Where we talk about the MVP of the episode.
Yeah.
I tried to do a...
Finger guns?
Yeah, okay. But I didn't. cool. MVP, that's a most valuable player. That's a sport thing.
Uh-huh.
I knew it.
Sports references, you're killing it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm so proud. Where do you stand on this? Who is your MVP of the episode?
And this is hard because it was such an ensemble piece this episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like I almost want to say Charlie.
Oh.
Because I didn't expect anything from him and he
surprised
he showed up this episode a little bit. He's really putting Wynonna first and seemingly being there.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I thought Kate was the MVP. She gave us the most information.
Okay.
Right? So, like, her conversation with Wynonna telling the story gave us a lot more backstory, but then also her being able to provide us with a reading to tell us what is happening and put it together.
Okay.
So, I think Kate would be my MVP.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna agree with you this time.
Oh,
because I like how much information Kate provided, even though I really don't care for her character.
I really enjoyed. I like modern Kate. To be fair, flashback Kate I found really annoying.
Well, she was pitiful.
Yeah, and like this, she was a product of her time.
Yeah,
and modern Kate is a product of her time and is as sassy and
she's in control of her future
and like quippy as Wynonna, and that's what I like.
Yeah.
So I like modern Kate, but I don't like, or I do like that she also gave us all this information and backstory and helped progress. That said, I would say Robin
and gave us another facet to Doc as well.
Sure.
Appreciate.
Yeah. But I do. I would have said. I thought about Robin because he did give us a lot of information, but he was like not in control of it. And so therefore he does not deserve the title.
Yeah, I would not. This isn't Jeremy's episode. No.
Robin.
No, or Robin's. No. No. We found out more about him.
Right.
But this isn't it.
No.
No.
What is the chat saying?
They're saying Kate's good, but they're also saying MVP Clutie, busted and all.
I really liked Burnt Skulled Clutie. I thought it was adorable. I like that because she wasn't like, I don't have patience to kill you right now. I came for something specific.
Yeah, she was tired.
I liked it.
She just was not.
That's my kind of demon. It was like, I don't,
you guys.
I know I've walked into your house. Just kill me in a minute. I don't. But, like, when she comes to the tarot cards and she, like, touches them and is like, nope, and leaves. I was like, yeah, I like this.
Yeah. She's to the point. I appreciate it. Okay. All right. Honorable mention for Clootie.
Yes.
100%.
Excellent. Let's head into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. So, here's what's in the trailer for next week. The ring is still stuck on Waverly. The beekeepers are back and Winona's in a tree. Bolshar says, the Earps heir will watch for all eternity as the world burns. Bobo's there and he says, he's everywhere. And Doc is like in the walls, kind of. He's like a projection on the walls. Yep, that was in the trailer. That's what I caught.
Okay, so I feel like this is a very crazy theory.
Great.
But it's the only one that I have, so I'm going to say it.
I love it.
Okay. Considering the lover card and considering the devil card with the two lovers, the man and the woman chained to the devil, which I think is Bolshar.
Sure.
Especially if he wants to create hell on earth and he wants to rule over them, which is kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to maybe use Winona's gun to open up the gates, because her gun can do that for a little bit.
Okay.
Why not chain Winona and another man as the lovers in hell to, like, there's going to be someone that has to represent Adam and Eve.
Right.
And I'm betting it's going to, Winona's one of them.
Interesting.
I don't really have a finished thought with that, but, okay, like, I feel like something is going to happen along those lines.
So I had a similar thought in that somebody has to represent these figures,
mm-hmm,
and we literally have an angel or daughter of an angel, and her partner happens to be the one the ring keeps returning to. So maybe them and the ring are the lovers.
Except for the ring, you know, is trying to get to Waverly because it kind of burned her hand and is like, you're not my owner, you know?
Right. But the ring, my thought is the ring kept coming back to Nicole because it had some sort of connection. And it may have been the connection that she is the lover of the angel that they need to make this.
I just think, and again, the show is super progressive and feminist. So, like, this may not happen, but I just think because it's Adam and Eve, such, like, classic characters, I think it's going to be a man and woman that the evil guy will try to fulfill or force in that role just so their spell can work or something. That's what I'm more drawn towards.
I definitely see that. And we had discussed for a moment before that you know, this show doesn't, we didn't see Garden of Eden coming because the show doesn't do biblical.
Yeah. I did not see that coming.
And so that was a big surprise. And I think it might be interesting if the biggest surprise is that they are all expecting it to be Doc and Winona, or Winona and Charlie, and then he dies. I think the biggest surprise would be that it's two Eves.
Yeah, and that's possible. And that would be very Winona-esque. Right. But I'm just, if I had to go down that crazy rabbit hole, I think they're going to attempt to find a man and a woman to fill those roles. If that is part of the lore, I don't know.
But I can see them, like, trying to fill it and being like, it's not working, so they need, like, the purest love. And the purest love we have is way hot.
Or, like, watch it be, like, Jeremy and Waverly. They'll be like, they're innocent, grab them. And they're going to be like, what? I
feel like Waverly, one, because she's part angel, but also because the ring is now stuck.
I feel like Waverly won't go down there because she is part angel.
Mm. I think
they can't.
So you think she might be the, like, key to solving the problem?
She might be a wrench in it, in their plans.
Interesting.
You can't throw an angel in hell.
Yeah. Well,
except for Satan himself. Right.
All right. What is the chat predicting? Where are they standing on this? Any thoughts? Bobo and Waverly.
There's a lot of guesses going on here. They're saying Mama and Julian. And I'm like, yeah, I can see that, except for Julian's an angel. And also,
I mean, if we're going to go biblical, let's biblicize
I could see that. I mean, I guess maybe that's the reason why he separated, to keep everyone safe. You know, he needs to stay far away so that he's not brought back and opening up the Garden of Eden. Sure, I can see that as a possibility. Absolutely. I think Bolshar thinks it should be him and Waverly or Adam and Eve. Yeah, I almost get the feeling that Bolshar thinks he's Adam, maybe. Mm. Because it seems, I don't know, it just seems more selfish to me somehow. It just right. seems like a move he would do.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, and they're just, yeah, everyone agrees that they think Bolshar is fulfilling the role of the devil, at least in this one.
Mm-hmm. I think also I would like more explanation as to why. You know what I mean? Like, I get the idea of I'd like to bring the Garden of Eden to Earth. Like that, I understand why you would want that. Mm-hmm. But I kind of want, because this has been the plan from the beginning, right? Now we see that he went to get his future told because this has been his plan in the works.
Yeah, he's like, is it time yet? Can you read it for me? Can you show me where it is? And right. she's like, I'm not reading. I know exactly what you want to know. No, no, so, I don't like this energy that I'm getting from
you. I want why. Because so far, we don't have a why.
I think we'll get it in the finale.
I don't like to wait that long. I am impatient. That's why I liked this episode. Uh-huh. So great. Any final thoughts?
I don't think we're going to get any kind of reveal like this episode again until the finale.
Yeah, probably.
I think the rest of the episodes are going to be real confusing.
I also don't think we'll get whatever he's trying to do to happen until the finale. And that will be probably our cliffhanger.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Until next week, where can everyone find you?
Yeah, you guys can keep the conversation going with me on Instagram and Twitter at Amber Plaster.
And I am everywhere at Yell Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. If you want interviews with some people from Killjoys and someone from the Librarians, check out fanversation.com. I also launched a Poshmark. Yeah, that's a thing I just did. Check that out. I will tweet out a link because I'm proud of myself. Yep. And I'll be here Thursdays at 8 o'clock for SVU, the greatest show of all time. All right. Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.